This is Tall Tales time. Legends of long ago. Stories from the day before yesterday. Settle back in your chair and listen as we spin for you Tall Tales. Tonight, the story of a youth from the backwoods of Tennessee who grew up to be the most decorated man born in America. The sailor who solved the riddle of the sea.
Matthew Fontaine Murray, Pathfinder of the Seas, the genius who first snatched from ocean and atmosphere the secret of their laws. Every mariner for countless ages, as he takes his chart to shape his course across the seas, will think of thee. The granite monument on which those words are carved was erected by the state of Virginia to a native son. And in the state where the Pathfinder of the Seas grew to manhood is another monument. From a pedestal in the Tennessee Capitol, a bronze head of Matthew Fontaine Murray looks out at the stream of humanity thronging the corridors. Ask any man in that passing crowd, who was Matthew Fontaine Murray? And how many will know? Very few. Yet not many Americans lived more adventurous lives than Murray, and few, if any, received more medals and honors, and almost none met with greater rebuffs at the hands of fellow citizens. And when he was 49 years old and at the peak of a great career, the blow fell.
Come in.
A letter for you, Lieutenant Murray, from the Naval Board, sir.
Thank you. Just put it on the desk. I'll get to it in a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
Now, as I was saying, sir, I have studied the logs of 46,000 days of observation of wind and weather in the North Atlantic, and I say the hazards of ocean navigations can be cut. Cut way down.
The year is 1855. A representative from the nation's marine insurance firms is in the office of Lieutenant Matthew F. Murray at the Naval Observatory. It is still the era of the clipper ship. Wind and weather have been taking a terrible toll of Atlantic shipping.
If you marine underwriters want to lessen the hazard, you'll take my advice and persuade the shipping authorities to set aside separate lanes for westbound and eastbound ships. Confine them here and here. Study the chart and see if you don't agree. Now, excuse me for a moment while I open this letter and see what the business of the Navy Board is with me. To Lieutenant M. F. Murray. Sir, in regard to the Act of Congress passed February 28 of this year of 1855 and signed by the President, said Act to promote the efficiency of the Navy, according to the terms
of the Act, a Board of Naval Officers has made a careful examination of the roles of the Navy, reporting those officers incapable of performing promptly and efficiently all their duty both ashore and afloat. As a result of this examination, you have been placed on this list and will receive leave of absence pay until further notice.
In the meantime, you will continue with your shore duties at the Naval Observatory.
He slumps in a chair, his broad forehead and craggy features buried in his hands. The visitor, startled, jumps to his feet. Lieutenant Murray, what's the matter?
I don't know what is the matter.
Sir?
But this is a severe blow, a grievous wrong. I am not permitted even to know what is the accusation against me, or who my accusers before the Navy Board are. By thunder, I'll fight back. There's Tennessee hickory in my backbone as well as seawater in my veins.
Tennessee hickory in my backbone, he said. And there was. He came to the western frontier in 1811, when he was 5 years old, a little boy riding in a jolting wagon, a tiny part of the great migration to the old Southwest.
Oh, do you remember sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the big mountains with her lover Ike, with two yoke of oxen, a big yaller dog, A tall Shanghai rooster and one spotted hog sing to Rylai, ooh, Rylai, ooh, Rylai.
The little frontier village of Franklin, Tennessee, seemed a good place to Richard Murray, and there he settled his family. In time, little Matthew went to a one-room school, where the seats were split logs with peg legs. He was quick to learn, and so Richard Murray sent the boy on to Harpeth Academy to study Latin and mathematics.
The anchor is weighed and the sails they are set. Away, Rio, the maids we are leaving.
There was another inspiration that stirred the mind of a 19-year-old youth, the sea. His brother, John Murray, was a midshipman at 13, sailed the South Seas, fought aboard the Essex at Valparaiso and at Lake Champlain, and when yellow fever struck him down, was buried at sea. The ocean was a silent enemy to the parents of the Murray boys, but a challenge to young Matthew.
We've a jolly good ship and a jolly good crew. Away, Rio, a jolly good mate and a good skipper, too.
A stroke of the pen in the hands of the man who represented young Murray's home district in Congress, and the future was sealed. A midshipman's warrant issued to Matthew Fontaine Murray, this date in the year 1825, signed Sam Houston, Member of Congress.
My father was heartbroken. He was sure another of his sons was headed for a lonely burial at sea. So he told me that it was up to me to get myself from Franklin, Tennessee, to Washington and the ship that waited there for me. I hit upon a scheme.
Cousin Abram's overseer sold me his gray mare, Mr. Hosbrook. That is, I'm to ride her to Washington and sell her there. The overseer says she'll bring $75. The money belongs to him.
Mr. Hosbrook was a teacher at Harpeth Academy and much interested in young Matthew Murray's career. He rubbed his chin reflectively and said, "So you've got transportation, eh? Well, how will you eat along the way?"
Frankly, Mr. Hosbrook, that worries me. I don't know.
You've rendered me considerable service at the academy, Matthew, teaching the youngest pupils so well. I feel you should draw a salary for the work. Would, say, $30 be a fair amount, Matthew? The older man held out his hand, and in the palm was enough money to pay the young midshipman's expenses to Washington.
With this generous gift from my old teacher in my pocket, I rode off to seek my fortune as a midshipman in my country's navy. I had never seen a ship before I laid eyes on the frigate Brandywine tied up at the wharves of New York City. She was my first assignment out of Washington, and I thought she was beautiful. A three-master she was, with red and gold on her stern and bow, and her colors whipping in a brisk breeze.
Away, Rio, we're bound away on this very day. Yes, we're bound for the Rio Grande. So it's pack up your donkey and get underway, away, Rio.
Young Murray may have set down in a letter to his parents a description of the men aboard the Brandywine. If so, it probably read something like this.
My ship was launched this very year, in the month of June, and guess what mission she's been commissioned to undertake? To carry the Marquis Lafayette back to France. It's true. We set sail sometime early in this month of September. There are 26 of us midshipmen aboard, three times the usual number.
Among the senior officers aboard was another man from Tennessee. He, too, was destined for great fame.
He is from East Tennessee, born at Stony Point on the Holston River. His name is Farragut, David Farragut, Lieutenant.
The months at sea speed past. Young Matthew Fontaine Murray finds out what it is to be in storms and tropical sunshine. He learns to read the wind and stars. The South Pacific, the Marquesas Islands, Tahiti, Honolulu on the island of Oahu, drenched in sunshine and sweet with the perfume of tropical flowers.
My dear mother and father, I write you news of a strange occurrence on the island of Nukahiva in the Washington Island group. It was here that my brother John was marooned so many years ago while he was in the China trade. I have met an old chief here who remembers him because my brother John saved his life. The old chief wanted me to stay and succeed him. He said the daughter of a neighborhood chief would make me a fine wife. It was a flattering offer, you will agree, but I refused.
The anchor is weighed and the sails they are set. Away, Rio, the girls we are leaving will never forget.
The years passed swiftly, 2, 3, 5, and Midshipman Murray attracted the notice of keen-eyed fellow officers. One of them was a Captain Whiting, who saw Matthew Murray coolly risk his own life to make marine observations from jutting rocks off the South American coast. The wind is rising, Murray. Better come back to the boat.
A few minutes more, Captain. I have another measure to take.
Hurry, man. The tide is running full. We'll never get you off that rock now. Captain Whiting watched with horror as the raging sea rushed away from the rock, leaving a yawning gulf 30 feet deep, and then roared back again, flinging itself against the cliff with tremendous force. Calmly, Midshipman Murray climbed to the top of the rock, took off his jacket and wrapped it around his watch and sextant, and tied the bundle with a string. Then he heaved the bundle with all his might toward the boat bobbing on the stormy sea. The bowman grabbed it with a boat hook before the water reached the entrance.
I'm going to slip for it. Keep the boat near as you can.
Midshipman Murray leaped into the boiling sea and swam for the boat, and was pulled into it, dripping and exhausted, but unafraid.
Come all ye young fellers that follow the sea, to my way, hey, blow the man down. Pray pay attention and listen to me.
Greater adventures were ahead for Matthew Fontaine Murray, the midshipman from the backwoods of Tennessee, who became the pathfinder of the seas. And he always faced them unafraid.
Give me some time to blow the man down. I'm a deep water sailor just in from Hong Kong. To my way, hey, blow the man down. If you give me some grog, I'll sing you a song. Give me some time to blow the man down.
You've been listening to Tall Tales. Tonight you heard the beginning of the amazing story of Matthew Fontaine Murray. Next week we'll continue the story of his adventures. In cooperation with the Tennessee State Library, Tall Tales is making available to its listeners a reproduction of an old Indian map of Tennessee, the oldest map of the state in existence. Printed on parchment-like paper suitable for framing, this Tall Tales map will be of interest to young and old alike. For your copy, send only your name and address to Tall Tales, WSM, Nashville, Tennessee. There is no charge whatever, just your name and address to Tall Tales, WSM, Nashville, Tennessee, and we will send you a copy of this old Indian map of Tennessee, the oldest one in existence. That address again, Tall Tales, WSM, Nashville, Tennessee. Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey and comes to you every Tuesday evening at the same time. In tonight's cast were Don Moore, Charles Galbraith, and Henry Sullivan. The ballad singer was George Grice. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services and comes to you from WSM Nashville.